Welcome back to DeetNB College. Today we're building a dark side intro to Stort in Ableton Live 12 using what I call a subweight approach. And that idea is simple, but powerful. The intro should already feel like it has dangerous low-end identity, but it still needs to stay controlled enough to survive the drop that's coming later. In darker drum and bass, the intro is not just a warm-up. It sets the emotional contract. If it feels too clean, the drop won't land with enough force. If it gets too messy, the whole mix turns to fog and the DJ loses clarity. So what we want here is pressure, weight, menace, a bass image that hints at sub-depth without giving away the full weapon. This works especially well for dark rollers, neural-leaning DNB, text-up-inspired sections, halftime-flavored intros, and club tools that need a proper build. The goal is that when the drums come in, the track already feels like it's holding its breath. The first thing to do is not sound design, it's phrasing. Start with a musical idea first. A 2-bar or 4-bar bass phrase is usually enough. Keep it sparse. Think one long note, maybe a short pickup, maybe a call and response with some negative space. In dark DNB, fewer meaningful events often hit harder than a busy pattern. Why this works in DNB is because the listener locks into momentum very fast. If the bass is too active during the intro, it fights the break before the groove has even had a chance to establish itself. Sparse phrasing makes distortion feel bigger because every note has more psychological room around it. Now build the core tone with something simple. Operator is perfect here. Wave eatable works too. Don't start with a huge layered patch. Keep the source clean and centered. If you're using operator, a sine wave or something very clean is a great starting point. Keep the attack short, maybe somewhere around 0 to 10 milliseconds. Use a decay that suits the phrase, maybe a bit shorter for a pulsed intro note or longer if you want a sustained pressure tone. Release should stay controlled so the tail doesn't smear into the next bar. What to listen for here is the pitch center. Before any processing, you should still clearly hear what note is being played. If the raw tone is already vague or buzzy, distortion will only make that worse later. Now here's the key workflow move in Ableton. Split the bass into weight and grit. Drop the synth into an audio effect rack and build two chains. One chain is your weight, the other is your grit. This is where the whole subweight approach really comes alive. The weight chain should keep the low foundation stable, mono, and focused. You can use EQA to keep the useful low end where it belongs, and utility to narrow the width all the way down or very close to it if the layer is below around 100 or 120 Hz. You want this part to feel locked to the center. The grit chain is where the attitude lives. That's where you add saturator, overdrive, or roar if you want a harsher edge in Live 12. Then filter that chain so it doesn't compete with the sub. High pass it if needed, around the low end of the bass body, and let it live in the upper bass and low mid-range. The split is the secret. It lets you keep the low end intact while processing the aggression separately. If you distort the full signal in one path, the sub blurs and the intro loses punch. On the grit chain, push the drive until the note starts to snarl, then back off a little. You want density, not fuzz. Around 3 to 10 dB of drive is often a good starting zone, but the exact setting depends on the source. Trim the output after saturation so you're level matching properly. Loud always feels better, so if you don't match levels, you can easily fool yourself into thinking the harsher setting is the better one. What to listen for is whether the distortion is adding pressure or just adding noise. Good dark side distortion should thicken the low mids and upper bass without flattening the fundamental. You want the note to feel bigger, not less defined. Now let's talk about mono discipline, because this is where a lot of bass intros either become club safe or fall apart. Keep everything under roughly 100 to 120 Hz mono. If your low-end layer is wide, collapse it. Use utility, keep the real weight centered. Stereo movement is fine, but only above the sub and only on the grit or texture layers. Also, check the tuning against the kick. A bass note can sound massive alone and still fight the kick when the full drum pocket arrives. Small note changes can make a huge difference. If the kick has a strong low fundamental, avoid stacking your bass directly on top of the same area unless that's a deliberate choice. A useful decision point here is simple. If you want tighter club weight, choose a more mono, focused subweight. If you want more neuro tension and atmosphere, let only the upper bass grit get wider. The core low end should stay disciplined either way. From there, use movement carefully. A slow auto filter sweep on the grit chain can be perfect. Start the low pass fairly closed for a muffled intro feel, then open it gradually over 4 or 8 bars. The point is to create a sense of the track waking up. You can also automate saturator drive a little bit across the intro, maybe just 1 to 3 dB more as the section develops. That can make the intro feel like it's getting closer to impact without having to write a busier bassline. A tiny delay throw on the last note can also work nicely, but keep it subtle. We want tension, not a flashy effect demo. What to listen for here is whether the movement feels like pressure building or just a synth being automated. The best dark intro builds slowly enough that the listener feels the danger before they consciously notice the change. And do not build this in isolation. Put it against the actual intro drums immediately. Breaks, snare punctuation, kick snare patterns, top loops, whatever the track is using. The bass has to support the groove, not compete with it. If the break has lots of ghost notes, simplify the bass rhythm. If the intro drums are minimal, you can let the bass be a little more assertive, but always listen for the pocket. When the bass comes in, the drum groove should feel more dangerous, not more crowded. A really important coaching point here: if the snare gets smaller or the break loses bounce, your bass is masking the groove. That's usually a sign to reduce distortion, simplify the rhythm, or back off the low-mid buildup. Once the tone is working, stop obsessing over the MIDI forever. If the sound has a strong identity, bounce it or resample it. Printing the audio gives you cleaner control over tails, easy reverse swells, tighter arrangement edits, and less CPU pressure if you're stacking processing. Keep one editable MIDI version for flexibility, and one printed audio version for arrangement. That way you can keep moving the track forward instead of reopening the same rack over and over again. Good workflow saves your energy for the parts that matter. After you print it, shape the intro like a story. Leave the first bar sparse. Let the second bar establish the weight. Increase the intensity by the third or fourth bar. Then pull back just before the drop so the impact lands harder. That phrasing arc matters a lot. A strong intro bass should not just loop unchanged. Even a tiny automation bump, a last bar cut, or a short void before the drop can make the transition feel intentional and huge. For an 8-bar intro, a good structure is atmosphere first, bass identity second, slight opening of the filter or drive next, then tension peak and space before the drop. For a 16-bar intro, resist the urge to keep the same intensity the whole time. Let it gain danger in stages, then briefly withdraw. That contrast is what makes the drop feel earned. A quick mix check before you call it done is essential. Lower the bass until the kick and snare feel unmasked. Check mono compatibility. Compare the intro to the drop. The intro should feel like a promise, not just a weaker version of the payoff. And here's a very practical workflow tip. Once the rack is working, save it with a clear name. Something like Dark Intro Distort Subweight 01. That kind of reuse helps you build faster on the next track and keeps your sound palette organized. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't distort the full bass without splitting weight and grit. That blurs the sub and kills punch. Don't make the intro rhythm too busy. It will fight the break and flatten the tension. Don't leave the low end wide. Club systems will expose that immediately. Don't crank the distortion before the note is stable. Start clean, then add aggression in stages. And don't ignore the drums while designing. A bass that sounds huge in solo can erase the snare in context. A couple of pro moves can make this hit even harder. Let the low-mid distortion carry the emotional layer, while the real sub stays disciplined. If you want the intro to feel more alive, let the attack stay relatively clean and let the sustain or tail take more drive. That preserves pitch clarity while still making the note feel dangerous. You can also use a short resampled texture or noise layer very sparingly above the bass, like a scrape or metal hit, but keep it out of the sub region. That can add darkness without smearing the low end. If you want even more dread, use a slight frequency relationship between the kick and bass so they don't occupy exactly the same low point. That makes the intro feel deeper even if the sub itself is actually lower in level. Subtle move, big result. So the core idea is this: build a bass intro that has sub weight, control, restrained phrasing, and carefully split distortion. Keep the sub mono and stable. Put the aggression in the upper bass. Shape the section with automation and arrangement, not endless sound design. Now try the mini exercise. Build a 4-bar loop using only stock Ableton devices. Use no more than 2 bass layers. Keep the low end mono. Add 1 automation move. Make 1 clean weight layer, 1 distorted grit layer, and 1 bar of tension before the loop resets. Then test it against a kick and snare loop. If the snare still punches through, the bass feels ominous rather than noisy, and the loop makes you want the drop to arrive, you're in the right zone. If it sounds huge solo but vague in context, reduce the distortion and simplify the rhythm. And if you want the next level challenge, build 2 versions of the same 4-bar phrase, 1 subtle and ominous, 1 more violent and distorted. Keep the MIDI identical, Keep the low-end mono and let the arrangement and processing create the difference. That's a brilliant way to train your ear. That's the lesson. Subweight intro design is really about identity, control, and tension. Make the intro feel like it knows what kind of drop is coming. Keep the sub disciplined, give the grit a voice, and let the arrangement do the heavy lifting. Get that right, and the drop won't just hit harder. It'll feel inevitable.